This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 801 on ESPN 97.5. It was good to catch up with Big Al. We're getting those sausage and peppers out right away, so Big Al will be happy. He wants to get paid now. Big Al has brought some level of infamy to Middletown, and he wants to get paid.
He said that he didn't, like, maybe they weren't crazy about all the heat on, like, all the eyes on the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't know. Stickball, is that still a thing where you play stickball in the streets?
Yeah, sure you do.
Okay.
You know,
Big Al was from the 40s for a little while.
Giuseppe's Card is first base. The sewer cover is second base. Mm-hmm. You know, the Edsel is third base.
We did that in Pecan Grove. It was my brother's shirt would be second base. First base was a glove.
Yeah.
A glove that never made it back. Like, once you put a glove down as the base,
it's over.
It was done.
That glove's
I don't remember what third base was.
Could have been anything.
It was
paper
ball.
Plate or whatever.
Yeah, it was great. We had a levee in the back that acted as kind of a natural backstop for the wiffle ball, so you could cut. But we played wiffle ball, but we also played where you had to hit opposite handed once every, I think, three at bats, and then you also, which helped turn me into switch hitter, but also you couldn't just play speed ball. Like, you couldn't just throw as fast as you could with wiffle ball. Most of the times when I see people playing wiffle ball, they try to throw it 100 miles an hour. We had to, you know, we played where you had to finesse the game a little bit.
Yeah, so you got to throw some curveballs. What is wiffle ball?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
And not just curveballs where you, like, you know, I specialized in the junk ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
The knuckleball, nothing's better than a knuckleball with a wiffle ball. Nothing on earth.
Nothing. Well, there's
except
something.
Apparently.
Some things are better.
Peppers and sausage, apparently.
Well, and
what else?
Hatchet Man's Wellness Center.
Hatchet Man's Wellness Center. I was reminded of that during Big Al when Hatchet Man had a wellness center, which was just a massage place.
Well, and he told all the broads in Houston, if you want to try out, come on.
Just come on down and he'd give you a tryout.
Yeah. He had some he had some halfsies working for him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
He's not very PC.
Hatchet Man is not very PC. But I have a feeling, I forgot to ask if they were related in any way. Because New Jersey, I would imagine they'd be related. But we'll have to find out next time we talk to Hatchet Master. Let me ask you this question. Texans football. So we got another game coming up this week. Deshaun probably plays a little bit more. Is there any storyline coming? Because I see storylines coming out of everywhere between Saquon Barkley, fights. I see all kinds, you know, fights between the two teams, the Redskins and the Jets that went at it, right? The fight in Jacksonville. I mean, there's all kinds of storylines going on everywhere. Is there a storyline with the Texans?
No.
I don't believe.
They've never been a big fighting team. Gary Kubiak was
very, very anti.
I'm
not even talking about
anti.
That, though. I'm talking about, what camp battles are we talking about? Bruce Ellington and Braxton Miller?
What are the camp battles?
What are they?
Does Justin Reed make...
Does he become a starter?
Does he start right away?
Does he make Kareem Jackson expendable?
I think he's going to. I'm going out there for the first time. They're back in town now. I wasn't able to get out there Saturday, and I had something I had to finish yesterday. I'm going to go out there right after the show today, and I'm really interested. I mean, usually I'm there in July, but since this has all been Westbrier stuff. What's it called?
What? Greenbrier.
Greenbrier, yeah. You do need to see. I want to see who's running with ones, who's running with twos. I want to see how guys look like, just to be acclimated with the whole.
Any question who's running with ones and twos?
No, maybe not, but I just want to see it for myself, because sometimes you... Like, I want to see how entrenched Justin Reed is. I want to see how, I mean, Kiki QT, is he going to be the full-time slot receiver to early in the season? My guess is
he's got concussion issues, so he's not even practicing.
Yeah, right now. But I'm talking about once the season starts, I mean, right. God forbid he still has concussion stuff. You know what? He may start on the bench. I do think that they will work him in early on because – Ellington's not going to be a long-term solution. Braxton's not a long-term solution. I think they're going to want to get more speed on the field, and this guy's faster.
Well, the question is, do they both make the team? If Sammy Coates makes the team.
Sammy Coates ain't making the team.
I don't know.
Well, he's a special teams guy also.
Yeah, but you don't have real wide receivers. Listen, you've only got Fuller and Hopkins as real wide receivers.
That can't be
outside
true.
Guys. No, who else?
Well, Sammy can't catch.
Chris Thompson, I guess.
Well, that could end up being the waiver wire. That you jump on a waiver wire for a number five. I can't see him. Maybe they keep three slots? Miller, QT, and Ellington?
No, I don't see that. You got to have outside guys.
Yeah, you got to have some outside guys. And those guys that need to be able to play special teams. And
you're only keeping two, and I don't think Braxton Miller makes it, if you want to know the truth. I'm gonna bet that it's going to be Ellington and QT.
I can tell you this. When I've read direct quotes from, he's been asked, Bill O'Brien, directly about both Sammy Coates and Braxton Miller. His answers were kind of non-answers. Yeah, he's out there, he's getting better, he's practicing every day, working hard. Mm-hmm. Like that's not a good answer. When somebody asked about Sammy Coates, that's what he said the other day. Braxton Miller, he's getting better, he looks a lot better this year. I mean, I didn't get all excited about Braxton Miller based on his commentary, what he was asked. That's why I want to go see these guys for myself and see, and I want to hear Bill O'Brien talk, and I want to hear it in context and just see. You know, Will Fuller is the key to unlock this offense. He really is. He and Lamar Miller. People can talk about offensive line. They can talk. The offensive line was below average last year, and Deshaun Watson still did great things. You want them to be better so they can get the running game going, and their running game was okay last year. But Lamar Miller's lighter. He's quicker. If they can get a bigger running game going, that's going to help Lamar Miller. I mean, that's going to help Deshaun Watson. But I really still think that Will Fuller had 7 touchdowns and 28 catches last year. I don't know that he's going to have that same pace this year. But if Will Fuller can stretch the field and can be a threat that Deshaun Watson has to hit you with, a nuclear option, if you will, over the top, all that's going to do is make life so much easier mm-hmm. for Deshaun and for Hopkins as well, and for whoever the tight end is. The tight ends are going to have favorable matchups against linebackers at times. Well, actually, I assume Houston. Let me put it this way. If Deshaun Watson, Will Fuller can stretch the field, no safeties can play around the line of scrimmage. You can go to your tight end in the slot, or even Kiki QT or Ellington, whoever. They're going to be in nickel packages. You're going to face a 6-man box in the running game a lot. You got a chance to really run the ball, too. That's why Will Fuller, and I said this during the draft, and people just, I don't think people see this. You recognize this. When you have a fast guy who takes up a safety's, who forces a safety to play over the top to help, it opens up so much in a running game.
Yeah.
It takes a man out of the box. It's a major, major win. If they don't respect that guy, the speed on the outside, it's a single high safety.
It's why they've drafted Will Fuller. I mean, it was the number one need at that time was speed on the outside. And to get that home run hitter, that will open it up for you. And now they've got the quarterback that can get it to him. So it is it's interesting, though. I mean, otherwise,
let me see. Bruce Ellington, Sammy Coates, QT,
literally on the
Jester Wee. I don't see
on the defensive line. Is Joel Heath going to be there? Linebacker, is Kenan Gilchrist going to be there?
No,
I don't know.
Well,
and the corners. I guess it's going to be
D. Virgin and
Johnson Batamosi.
Batamosi will make it because he's also a special teams ace. Jonathan Joseph, Kevin Johnson, Aaron Colvin, that's 4. And I think the 5th one is probably D. Virgin. And then you go into your DBs, Kareem Jackson, Justin Reed, Tyrann Mathieu. Are they going to carry more than 8?
Well, they're going to, yeah. They're going to, oh yeah, absolutely. No, they carry 10 to 11.
Oh, wait.
On DBs.
Wait, 4. No, 3.
So it'll be Drummond, Decoud, or Moore.
I don't
Moore.
Think Decoud. Well, we'll see. Corey Moore's got some ability, and he can play teams. I think the corners are pretty much set. I think it's going to be Batamosi, Virgin, Colvin, Johnson, and Joseph, J.J., unless someone gets cut and brought on the team. I think those will be your five corners. If they keep... I mean, are you sure they keep that many? I got to look at the... That feels keep 10 like DBs. A lot.
They'll keep 10 DBs.
You kind of need to.
You have to. No, you have to, especially for teams too. Ogier4 makes the team. I mean, honestly, are there? I mean, where is there any kind of other than Kiki QT or Braxton Miller? No, QT is going to make the team. Other than Braxton Miller versus Bruce Ellington, I really don't know any battles here. I mean, honestly.
I think there are some battles from a depth standpoint. Let me look at... Okay,
yeah, but so, nothing that is going to affect the depth chart.
Here's October 1st, 2017. On the roster, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 DBs last year. Drummond, so basically Drummond and Decoud, I think, could be battling for a spot because Andre Howell is out. Eddie Pleasant's gone. We'll see.
Think that Corey Moore is going to make it for sure?
Do you remember Marcus Burley? I don't remember him. Corner?
Yeah.
I do know this much. The Texans have probably picked up more. They're probably in the top five of picking up DBs over the last 5 years off waiver wire. So what you see now does not necessarily reflect what you're going to see at cornerback. Like, Diversion will be fighting for his life the whole time. I think there's an outside shot. Kareem Jackson could be in some trouble on the roster based on his salary spot. They could look to say, you know what, we'll keep Decoud, we'll keep Curtis Drummond, we'll add somebody off the waiver wire who's a veteran who got cut that we think is faster than Kareem Jackson and who's better on teams, you know, something like that. As far as defensive linemen, J.J. Reader, Heath, Covington, Brandon Don Carlos Watkins last year, along with Whitney and Kamalu. So that's like 8 D linemen, and that was without Clowney, because Clowney would have been there.
Kamalu's got some problems now with Ogier4.
He could. Ogier4 is a better – Ogier4 is going to be a better pass rusher. Yeah. Let me see. Hold on. Let me get back to this. You know, there is more depth here this year, I think, in certain positions. It's kind of interesting when you look at the roster at the depth. And maybe it's just because I know some of these guys a little better now than I did in the past because of the draft stuff. But you do have some guys who are worth developing. Ogier4 is one of them. He'll get picked up. If you cut him, he's going to get picked up by somebody else.
No, not the way he's looking. He's looking good.
So Covington, Reader, Watt, Merciless, Clowney. Well, Clowney's at the jack position. So you got those four. Heath, Brandon Dunn, Carlos Watkins. And I guess I need to see what Peter Kalambayi looks like also. He's an interesting one from Stanford. Great, great athlete. Marcus Hardison was an interesting player a few years ago. Angelo Blackson, they brought him in.
He probably makes the team.
This is, well, then Kalambayi, I mean, then, okay. Yeah, he might. So I think there's going to be one position that's up for grabs on the
I'd say either Hardison or Blackson probably.
Yeah, I think there'll be one position. So Heath is basically going to be battling against Blackson and Hardison. Peter Kalambayi is going to be battling against LaTroy Lewis and I guess Devin Bellamy for that outside linebacker spot at the jack position, which is that the physical end.
That's if they Clowney, keep five.
Scarlett, I think Brennan Scarlett's a real dude.
No, he is. Brennan Scarlett's on the team.
But you think? But you're right. Ogier4, Duke Ogier4 versus.
Kalambayi.
Kamalu is going to be
the
battle over there for that third.
But they're going to keep Ogier4 because he's their draft pick.
You think, well, Kamalu, they've got some things invested in him too. He used to be a defensive lineman at Miami. I'm sure Dell remembers him. I was always a little surprised that he ended up playing that position where he had to be a little more athletic in some of his coverages. From a safety standpoint, from a secondary standpoint, Jonathan Joseph, Badamase, D. Virgin, Kevin Johnson, Aaron Colvin.
That's it. On the corners.
I guess 5. Kareem, Matthew, Reed, Corey Moore. They'll all make it. There's 9. So you got Drummond and Decoud. That might be it.
Yep.
That might be your 11. It looks very similar to last year, only you lost Eddie Pleasant and Andre Howell's out.
Yep.
Replaced by Justin Reed and Tyrann Mathieu. At safety, I'm talking about. Maybe there's not as many battles as I'm thinking. Mm-mm. I see some battles, but it's for depth positions.
That's what I'm saying. It's not gonna affect the depth.
No, I think you're right about that.
8:16 ESPN 97.5.
You would have loved the afternoon show yesterday.
What?
AJ, as if he had been drinking Coors Lights all day, made the comment, what about Brandon Whedon? He looked pretty good when he got in.
Preach
I think
on, brother.
Brandon Whedon can, you know, I think he can be a really solid backup in this league.
Thank you. And? What's the point?
I thought you'd be super excited to hear that.
What's the point?
I think he's insulted that he's limiting then Brandon Whedon to just a backup.
Yeah. Brandon Whedon be fighting on 30 teams for the starting job.
Could he be the starter in Arizona?
Yes.
I figured you'd say that.
What, are you crazy? He could be the starter in Oakland. Let's talk right now about...
What?
Let's talk about the starters at a Constellation Field right now, okay?
Can How he about, start at third base for them?
He could start in center field. Yeah, that's what he did for the Yankees organization. Did you ever do that? Were you a first-round pick in Major League Baseball? Actually, or a second-round pick in Major League Baseball? A first-round pick in the NFL? And you played on the college golf team? Okay.
A disappointment in three sports? That's just too easy.
Overrated? No,
oh, really?
Overdrafted? Oh,
yeah.
Sports?
Yeah, his family's real disappointed in him. How he's, you know, been a professional athlete for all these years.
No, John, I wasn't overrated in three major sports. No.
Yeah, okay.
Speaking of the Skeeters, we're going tonight. Me and the
you're the
family. The
it's
all
two
six.
For Tuesday, you know.
This is my favorite. My wife was going, why didn't you get tickets for Wednesday? Because me and Alec are going to go see a play. Alec found out that we're going to the Skeeters. He's like, I don't want to go to the play. I want to go to the Skeeters. And my wife had to, and I said, oh, now maybe you're not going to the play.
How's that?
So maybe you can go to the play by yourself. Alec wants to go to the Skeeters. So
here we go.
Everyone's going to the Skeeters.
What's today? Two for Tuesday.
Yep.
Kids in free Wednesday. That's what you need.
I know.
What? That's the dumbest thing ever.
It was a Tuesday, Wednesday thing.
What? That's the dumbest thing ever. Your family was made for kids in free Wednesday.
I know it is, but it doesn't cost a fortune at the Skeeters.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. And it's an easy trip out there, and they're super excited about going for the first time this year. That's really on me. We usually have gone to two or three by now, and we're going to go tonight. We're going to enjoy it. We got to get the kids out of the house. It's killing me. I mean, the fights that I'm having to break up, and then when they're playing and happy, it's too loud.
Yeah.
I'm like, we gotta get to the Skeeters.
Yeah, let them go.
Let's get to Constellation Field.
Hey, yeah, and they got the jumpy things for the kids out there. You got a bar for you and Nicole and
knock yourself
field.
Out, kids.
Yeah, go have
Although
fun.
The Skeeters do like for you to actually watch your kids in center field.
Somebody will watch them. Thirsty Thursday, $2 beers and sodas is going on. Kids in free Wednesday, two for Tuesday tonight at Constellation Field. Taking on the Patriots, go see the Somerset Patriots versus your Sugarland Skeeters, all at SugarlandSkeeters.com, SugarlandSkeeters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Listen for your chance to win in the name game, where we call two names, and if one of those is yours, you try to be the first caller and be the winner of today's prize, which happens to be a pair of tickets to the Ziegenbach Music Festival. Don't miss the 16th Annual Music Festival at Sam Houston Race Park, Saturday, September 29th. See the Randy Rogers Band, Pat Green, Casey Donahue, Reckless Kelly, Roger Krager, Kevin Fowler, plus many more perform live. Unfortunately, we are not the show to do the giveaway. Your next chance to win is on John and Raheel with Dell. Continue to listen throughout the day. Now back to John and wherever Lance is.
Yeah, nobody knows where he is. That's all. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. Let's get Brandon in. He wants to talk about Jordan Akins.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey, what do you say, Brandon? How are you?
Oh, good, good, good. Hey, want to see what you guys think about tight end Akins. I know we need some action there this year. He looked pretty good last week. I know it was preseason. I know he probably gets some number twos, but it looked like he was able to get some pretty good separation and also pick up some blocks. Let's see what you guys thought about that.
Yeah. No, I think Jordan Akins is going to be a good player. He's going to be a guy that the Texans are going to – how many catches you got Jordan Akins at this year?
Man, it's so hard. I mean, you got to set the number low, because I just don't know how it's gonna. I just don't know how it's gonna play out yet. You got Akins. They believe in Steven Anderson. Ryan Griffin has been a player who handles.
I don't know if Steven Anderson's days aren't over.
I mean, they could be if Jordan. They're not keeping four tight ends. It wouldn't make any sense. No. I don't think.
And Ryan Griffin's making
a lot
team,
of two tight.
And
sets,
they just drafted these two guys.
Yeah, he could be. He could be. You know, I was not a Steven Anderson fan when he came out. Jordan Akins, I liked at the senior bowl. I was like, he had some moments where he got away from people in routes and showed the speed that he had, and I was like, whoa, this guy's got some juice. And then, I don't know, I had some teams kind of down on him for. I think there were some questions about him, football character wise. Some teams had so. Yeah, I know he's 25, 26 years old already as a rookie, but he's played minor league baseball, so he's got a background of being. I actually like when guys have done that because you know why? It's the same thing I saw with the Hayden Hurst, the South Carolina tight end. When you have guys who have failed in another sport, most notably it's going to be baseball, obviously, it's almost like a wake-up call where they realize, okay, I can't let this get away. This is my big shot. And I think that benefits players when they realize one of their dreams didn't work out. I think it puts more emphasis on the football stuff, and they tend to go at it a little bit harder. And I saw it from Hayden Hurst to South Carolina, the way he played there. And I think Akins will have the same kind of mindset, hopefully. But he does have some talent. He's fast. He can run. So, yeah, he could end up taking – and he can play on in the line of scrimmage. So he and Ryan Griffin can play on the line of scrimmage. Jordan Thomas and Steven Anderson play specifically, you know, outside. They were wide receivers who have converted to tight ends. So I'm kind of interesting to see how they run Jordan Akins. Are they going to play him in the slot some? How do they handle him? They could keep four tight ends, but I just don't see it. Like, why? They don't run enough two tight sets unless they're going to go to more two tight sets. And if they do that, their tight ends better be good blockers.
Well, that's the key, is whether or not they picked up the offense enough, whether or not they're going to be able to block, you know, at the pro level.
So remember, that's Jordan Thomas is new at this position,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So he could end up getting cut and put on practice squad.
Yeah. So we'll see. But I like those three to make the team. I don't think Steven Anderson's. I think Steven Anderson is kind of a luxury, you know, in that you got a guy who can play in the slot, not big enough to be a blocker, a banger inside, and he can catch some balls for you. But I think that you're going to have that with Akins and Ryan Griffin anyway. I'm going to tell you this. I think Akins can come up with 25 catches this year.
Do you?
Yeah.
It just depends on who gets those. Who gets those reps. I still think it's not a strength for the Texans, that position. Wouldn't surprise me if tight end ended up being a top four round position next year.
Well, the day of the draft, I said they're going to tight end, and sure enough, that was a position of need. We'll see how they play, though. Hopefully, it's not going to be a position of need next season because you've got a lot of linemen and DBs you got to get.
Yeah, but do you see Ryan Griffin as a long-term solution to tight end?
No, but you know what? As long as it's serviceable, I still think you need another outside guy. You kind of have. I mean,
you do. Oh, you clearly do.
Yeah,
that's a position. As I went through the roster, Carlos Thompson, Sammy Coates,
Chris Thompson.
I mean, Chris Thompson, Sammy. They had Carlos here from Ole Miss a couple of years ago, I think.
Carlos Thompson is the...
Remember him?
Speaking of
Oh, no. That's last chance you.
When is he coming on?
Well, so Frank's probably asleep right now. So we said, I'll try to call him and see if I can get him with a phone call. He agreed to do Tuesday. I didn't realize I didn't set up a time for him. When I looked, I was like, oh, crap, he might be West Coast time. So I'll call him here in just a second. Carlos Thompson, from Last Chance U. There's another Carlos Thompson from Ole Miss that I think was with the Texans for a little bit. But I look at the roster for the Texans, and you know what I see? I see a team that's begging to have a waiver wire wide receiver picked up. Wouldn't shock me if they do that. Quan Bray, he didn't get me excited. They just added him. Chris Thompson, we'll see. I need to watch him more so I learn more about him because Will Fuller is hurt a lot. So you better have a legit number two. Sammy Coates he has experience with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe he's got a shot, but I didn't see a guy. I didn't see a player who could play outside. I don't see that.
There's a guy struggling in Dolphins camp that some people think may not make it to the first game, even if he's a first round pick.
Devontae Parker.
is a guy
who, absolutely
take him.
Who's he's got 1 year left after this season at nine.
They say Xavier Rhodes has been giving him the
ball. He's got a year left at nine.
Xavier Rhodes.
It's the rookie.
Xavier Howard.
Yeah. Where it's the 5th year option where they could it jumps up quite a bit the money. He may not make it to opening day considering how bad he's been. Big guy, first round pick, would be an outside receiver that we're talking about the Texans, and you could pick, and it'd be this year. It'd be 1.9. Wouldn't be a lot.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
But you know what? If you put him on waiver wires, Cleveland's going to just gobble up everybody. So you better be ready to – you might have to
trade for
deal him. A late-round pick for him. Yeah.
All right. Why don't you talk about getting your testosterone and be manly?
Let me tell you something right now, Mean Gene. Men's T Clinic is going to hook you up. If you are feeling – I went in on Saturday, had to get my treatment on Saturday because we played in the poker tournament on Friday, which is when I usually go in. And I saw some guys in there, and I saw the – it's just a look. Like, you just don't have that extra zip that you used to have. And it's something that happens naturally where your testosterone level can drop. It's not your fault, and it happens a lot of time just through genetics. But at Men's T Clinic, if you don't feel like you have the energy level, the drive that you once had, maybe it's affecting your libido. Maybe it's affecting your desire to get through your workouts. How hard is it getting through a workout? For some people, they get through workouts fine. They're still doing everything they've always done, but they just aren't seeing the same results. If any of these sound like you, it could be low testosterone. And if your testosterone level drops, the way that you need to approach it is by going with a company and a business who cares about your health first and foremost, because that's what they do. You see a provider every time you go in, and they will get your testosterone level back to where it should be. And when you get it there, wow, it's going to feel like you're a brand new person. But really what you are is the same person you once were. Get back to being the real you. Don't just live in this funk and this haze that you've been sitting in. Get back to being the real you by getting that testosterone level back to where it's supposed to be at Men's T Clinic. Go to mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com. 4 locations in the Houston area.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 835 ESPN 97.5. John and Lance. Greeny just did on ESPN, he did his list of his top 5 non-championship teams. And the 72-win Golden State team is on there. The undefeated Patriot team that lost in 2007, Randy Moss, Tom Brady, they lost to the Giants with the head catch. So he's got, and then he's got the Buffalo Bills with their 4 runs to the Super Bowl and not winning. And he's got 2 college teams. He's got UNLV. Which, okay, that was an undefeated team heading to and playing
They're
Duke.
They're trying to get back-to-back titles, and
right.
Duke took them out.
Right. And then he's got the Fab Five as his number one team, probably because Jalen Rose is standing there.
Yeah, that Fab Five team, particularly their first year, they weren't a dominant team. I think they went in as like a 5 seed or something. They weren't a dominant team in the regular season. Now, they had great runs in the tournament to get to the final, but sure, they changed the scope of basketball, how people watched it, how people paid attention to it, but they weren't dominant. They weren't a dominant basketball team.
Phi Slamma Jamma should have been on the list. The best team to not win. And, I mean, I don't think that's a much better team than that Fab Five team, and much more dominant during the regular season.
Particularly that first year. I think the Fab Five might have been a 2 seed going in the second time around, maybe a 3, but as far as expectations, sure, people thought they could win it all. But just as far as on-court performance, they were meh. Or not meh, but regular season-wise, they were just another team.
Yeah.
Not Houston. Houston had, I want to say they lost to Syracuse with Ronnie Cicely that year. And might have been it. I think that was maybe it for regular season losses. I mean, they were really, really a good, good team. Now, it was also a team full of, you know, Dream. That was Dream's third year. No, that was Dream's second year. It was his second Final Four, second year, the Feistlama Jamma year. That was Drexler's third year, second Final Four. Meshaw was a senior. They had, you know, I had one freshman back then. You didn't rely on freshmen. That's the Fab Five was all freshmen, and then one freshman freaked out in a big moment, didn't keep his poise, ended up costing him a national championship potentially. So that's what
happened. No, they lost to Virginia too. They lost back to back games. Yeah. They lost back to back games to at Syracuse and Virginia. So they ended up
In the Fab Five's first,
I don't remember the UVA loss.
Yeah, the Fab Five's first year, they were a 6 seed. They were a 1 seed the second time around. They obviously lost in the title game both years. But like I said, they were really good the second time around. But first time, that was a team trying to put it together, and they put it together in a tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been a Ralph Sampson team, right? A Virginia team.
82-83, yeah. Where did they lose?
They lost at the Suntory Ball Tournament.
They had three losses. Wasn't another one to Seton Hall, maybe?
No, they lost the final, the NC State game.
Oh, that was the NC. Yeah, that's right. They lost to Virginia?
Yeah, back-to-back games at Syracuse and in Virginia.
Wow, I didn't remember that. I remember being crushed after the Syracuse one, and then they won everything after that. 16-0 in conference. I went to so many of those University of Houston Feistlama Jamma games. My dad could just get us in free because the football players were the ticket takers a lot of times. And they're like, you're good, coach. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming home from Baylor versus Houston that year, football game. And Houston had beaten Baylor in Waco. We're driving home. And we're driving with my dad. And he, all of a sudden, like I'm just kind of dozing out at night. He rolls down the window, and it's Michael Young and Clyde Drexler. Like, way to go, coach. Like, I'm like, you know Michael Young and Clyde Drexler? He's like, yeah, we're in the same athletic facility. And they were saying what's up to my dad. Like, way to go, coach. You know, beat Baylor or whatever they said. And I'm like, oh, my God. I got to go watch their practices. U of H, when they would practice, they had a guy named Terry Kirkpatrick. He was this big, heavyset guy who was – a recruiting specialist, basically. He was during practice. So there's Guy Lewis, Donnie Schrerock, and Terry Kirkpatrick were the two assistant coaches with Guy Lewis. We went to the practice before the national champion, before they were going out for the Final Four. And we went to and watching them dunk on each other was just incredible. I swear on everything, Terry Kirkpatrick was up in the stands eating barbecue and eating ribs, like during practice. And here I am as a kid, and Donnie Schrerock's running practice. Guy V. Lewis is just sitting down talking to somebody. And it's a real loose practice. Benny Anders is pretending like he's going to put karate on somebody. I'm just like, this doesn't seem like the kind of practice. This isn't as buttoned up as I expect. It was, and I asked Reed Geddes about it years later. He goes, it was a little looser sometimes. Sometimes Terry Kirkpatrick would just leave to go eat barbecue. Sometimes that happened. He'd be up in the stands, hands full of barbecue sauce.
How are you going to play basketball with hands full of barbecue sauce?
You don't have to. You just have to win.
Oh, my God. Let's not eat barbecue during basketball games, during basketball practice.
Houston won 5 games. They lost 2 back-to-back. One was the number one Virginia, as you mentioned. And then after that, they won every other game. They just went on a massive winning streak after that.
Wait a minute. What happened? He didn't mention USC 2005.
Ooh. Greatest team of all time?
How did that team not make the list? The team that lost to Texas.
That is true.
By the way, Frank Diaz said he can come on right now. So why don't we break it now? We'll come back with the quarterback coach from Last Chance U. If you haven't seen this documentary on Netflix, I mean season 1, season 2, and season 3. The first 2 years are East Mississippi. This year is Independence, Kansas. It is an eye-opener.
It's
going to
be next year, too.
It's Independence again.
All right.
Only you won't see Coach Frank Diaz.
No. No, Frank Diaz is no longer with us. He will be with us.
He's with us. He's alive still.
Well, he's alive, but he's no longer with us on the show. You know who is with us? It's Del Frisco's Double Eagle Steakhouse. If you're looking for the best steakhouse in the city, let's talk lunch. fantastic lunch menu, including their business lunch specials. You get a soup or salad plus a fabulous entree, all for $26.50. Oh, how about this? And I had it. The dry-aged burger. It is spectacular. If you think at a premier steakhouse that they can't make a great burger, you would be wrong. They've also got the prime pair, either at lunch or dinner. You get a steak, a filet or a New York strip, jumbo lump crab cake, salad and a side. People, you can't eat all of this, and it's only $59. And you say only $59. For a dinner at a premier steakhouse, usually the steaks are about $60. So to get all of this, and KJ went the other night, and he said it was fantastic. He talked to Arthur. When you go there, ask for Arthur. He's the general manager, and you tell him that you heard it right here. Celebration, any night, whatever it is, in the Galleria on Restaurant Row, facing Westheimer, easy to get to, plenty of parking, valet, DelFrisco's.com. DelFrisco's is the best steak in the city, and you'll find out that out yourself. DelFrisco's.com.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 847 ESPN 97.5, John and Lance. I'm being joined right now. If you haven't seen it, it is must-see television because it is awesome. Season 3 of Last Chance U. And with us is the quarterback coach from last season, Frank Diaz, who his story is awesome, and it was eye-opening for what coaches go through and have to go through to stay in this business or to be employed. And he's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Frank, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Lance. How's it going? I appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah. This Lance here, that's John. So, John.
John, okay.
So, I come from a family of dad coach, brother coach. I do stuff with NFL stuff and have been doing radio for 21 years with John. John actually played football, was a quarterback at Knox College in... small school there. So we've got a... And my brother played JUCO football in Mississippi, and I remember him telling me, ooh, Mississippi JUCO, this is back in the 90s, like, it's a little rough in the dorm sometimes. He said, it can be a little rough. And one of the things Last Chance U has brought to us is that idea that, you know, it is called Last Chance U, the idea with junior colleges for some of these guys for a reason. It is not going to be what many people expect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, junior college football is absolutely just 100% knucklehead. You know, it's nonstop babysitting the guys. But, but those guys all have good intentions. You know, my background is, I was with Chip Kelly at Oregon, so I was kind of spoiled starting my coaching career there, being part of a national championship team, and then going down to the JUCO ranks. But it built character, and it's rough. You know, junior college football is rough, and independence, it was, I would say it's a little rougher than rough.
So Frank Diaz is with us here on ESPN 97.5. And when you took us to where you were living and you had your suitcases packed just in case Coach Brown fired you at any time and all this, and you explained that you were with Chip Kelly and you were with Scott Frost, and then you say, well, and I'm not getting paid here. How did that happen? How is it that you ended up, you say you go down to the JUCO after you were there. How did that end up for you being where you did end up?
Yeah, I was grateful for, for being around Coach Scott Frost and Chip Kelly and the opportunity that they gave me. They're basically the founding fathers of teaching me the ins and outs of football. But then as soon as I graduated from Oregon at the age of 22, I decided to move to Los Angeles and become the quarterback coach at West LA College. I was there for about 5 seasons. I absolutely just dominated junior college football from the California perspective. I had the number one quarterback in the nation in 2015, he ended up signing with Jeff Tedford at Fresno State. And then, you know, being there 5 years, I think that, you know, I had done everything I possibly could for that California JUCO. So I decided to take a risk and head to Independence, Kansas with Jason Brown. He told me that he had Teron Jones, Malik Henry was there. You know, just a bunch of, you know, I think we had like 27 Division I bounce backs come into Independence, and I was flattered by it, and I wanted to get back to, you know, coaching Division I level. Now, I know that usually these bounce backs come with a little bit of baggage, so I also wanted to test my, you know, I wanted to test and see how good I could build relationships with these guys and kind of help them and guide them and put them on the right path. So that was more of the eye-opener for me, and then obviously there was rumors that the Netflix deal was going to come about. And I figured, you know what, this could be a good situation for me. It could be a good platform, not just for me, but for all the other coaches that are in this nation, you know, that are working for little to no money. And it just shows how passionate I am about football and how much I freaking love the damn sport, man. You know, also I come from a broken home. My dad was, you know, in and out of jail. So coaches, you know, football coaches were my father figures. Football did raise me. You know, I am who I am because of football. And this was my way of paying it forward. So that's how I ended up in Independence, Kansas. And it was a hell of a time. I got so many damn stories. I wish I could be with you guys all day and we could talk about it. But, yeah, it's been a phenomenal ride, man.
Frank Diaz joins us right now. He was the quarterback coach on Last Chance U Season 3. Did you feel like the documentary, were you okay with how you were, quote-unquote, portrayed? I didn't feel like the editing made anything look suspicious. I got a pretty good feeling of who you were, I thought.
Oh, that's awesome. I appreciate you for saying that. It's not how I was portrayed. Yeah, I think they really did. I think, you know what, Greg, the director, did an amazing job. You know, there was so much bullshit. I mean, sorry, there was just so much crap.
He stopped. You know, I think we stopped right there.
He stopped.
There.
Yeah. He stopped. He said bullshit. Our producer was a little worried. I think you're hanging with Coach Brown. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. Your vocabulary is a little limited right now.
No, but go ahead. Go ahead.
But no, you know, they did a great job in kind of showing on. Basically, in my opinion, they showed how much I had on my plate. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, you know, there was a lot on my plate, but that's okay because I'm a hungry man and I love to eat. So, it wasn't so much that I was portrayed wrong or anything like that. They just kind of portrayed me as, you know, I had a lot on my plate. I just wish they would have shown a little bit more football and watched me coach Monday through Friday, because that's kind of what I did, is I ran the offense all week, and then, you know, Brown just kind of came up on Saturdays and called the plays, obviously. So that was a little frustrating.
We never saw him watching tape, I will say that. So we didn't see a lot of that. It was, and we'll get into Jason Brown here in a little bit and your relationship there, because that's a separate thing that a lot of people want to talk about, I know. But, you know, I got to tell you, it was very frustrating watching you try to get into the head and get – it felt like you were just very ineffective with Malik Henry, your quarterback, and it was frustrating as a viewer to see this kid not take advantage. And then, you know, I at one point I got to feeling like, I just don't think he loves football. I think it's his dad that's pushing this. I'm frankly quite certain he doesn't love football. I mean, you can tell in the doc.
Did you feel that too, Frank?
Yeah, you know, he's a. You know, he just came back from Florida State. He was pretty damn depressed. Yep. You know, in all honesty, he shouldn't have even been at Independence. I think he should have taken some time off. But what the show doesn't really show is the 80% of the good practices and the good communication that me and Malik had. You know, they kind of focus more on the negative sides of things. And obviously, it's TV, right? And that's what they want to show. But me and Malik had a great connection, man. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there's no way that me and Malik would not get along, and we spent freaking 24/7 with each other. You know, I think it was week two it was right after the Iowa Western game. You know, I had a serious conversation with him, and you know, he was almost in tears, and I had to get the actual truth out of him, and he did. He told me exactly everything that happened, and I apologize, I can't share everything with you guys.
Right.
But yeah, you know what? That's when I really got to Malik's heart. And he began to trust me. And, you know, those sequences that you see on the show, it's all like from the beginning. You know, it's just, it's all mixed up, and you know, they took a lot of the good parts that, you know, all the good things that Malik was doing. They kind of didn't really show it. But at the end of the day, you know, when I got there, the coaches that were there in the spring were telling me that Malik wasn't going to classes at all. He was just doing his own thing. Like, he just didn't care. And it was night and day from when I got there, because even he might have had, you know, I had to babysit him, but he was actually going to classes. And, you know, like I said, you know, he was enjoying football. He was starting to come out a little bit. But, yeah, you know, there was those times where he would just take a couple steps back, but then we got to move on forward. He's just a work in progress. You know, he's a work in progress. He's a, you know, Malik, I look at Malik as a little brother, man. And, you know, I try to take him under my wing, and I wish, you know, we went through so much crap there at Independence that, you know, I think if I had one more season with him, I think we would have been taking the lid off something and making this kid, you know, a phenomenal quarterback and getting back into Division I with a better character. He's a great kid, man, and I like Malik.
Frank Diaz, quarterback coach, Last Chance U Season 3 with us here on ESPN 97.5. Now, Jason Brown. That is, I don't know, his coaching style. I've seen some coaches that are a bit abrasive, aggressive. I've never seen anything quite like Coach Brown, if you want to know the truth. He is something. What was that like to work with?
Yeah, my world was upside down. I couldn't, you know, everyone has a different coaching style. And, you know, I'm not going to knock on anybody. But if that's the way he thinks things work, then he should go for it. You know, like I said, and you guys kind of know a little bit about my background, being with Scott Frost, who's now the head coach of Nebraska, and Chip Kelly, and, you know, Margay Miller, who I was with at West Los Angeles College. And I've been around Clay Helton at USC. You know, a head coach doesn't really behave that way. You know what I mean? I guess the closest that we probably see as far as those rants that we saw in Last Chance U is probably with Nick Saban. The only difference is Nick Saban's assistants are getting paid $500,000,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, so for him, for JB to be as aggressive with his coaching staff, and at the end of the day, you know, all the hard work that we do for him, because the head coach isn't really anything without his assistants. You know, the assistants are a bit of a backbone to what a head coach does. The unfortunate part is that the head coach ends up with the wins and loss column, you know? And, It was tough. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'll say it to you guys right now. My character was challenged. My manhood was challenged. I just know that I had to keep fighting through it and persevere. I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to let anybody, you know, change my character just because of the way they talk or whatever. You know, obviously, oh my gosh. I tell you right now, Lance, and I wanted to fight the dude every week. You know, it was just nonstop. I was like, man, I cannot take this dude no more. And, you know, as you saw in Last Chance U, you know, Coach Latt lost it on
him. Your wide mm-hmm. receiver coach almost did fight him.
Oh, God,
the
yeah.
The Dodge City game, right?
Yes. After that game, guys, I think I wanted to say, you know what, I'm over it. That we're going to look like a complete crap show on worldwide television.
And you did.
I was just like, man, am I jeopardizing my own coaching career? Because it just looks like we don't know what's going on. And I'm lucky. I'm telling you right now. I'm lucky that I've been. You know, my Twitter's been blowing up, and I'm lucky that people have noticed that on that episode that I was in the booth for the Dodge City game that first half, and these guys were almost killed. You know, Malik and JB almost killed each other until I came down the second half and managed the damn game, because these dudes just did not get along.
No, but I tell you what, though. I mean, it was something weird happened, because I was pretty pissed after. After the third episode and really into the fourth, that's just not how you treat coaching staff. When I found out you worked there for free, I'm like, what? Works here for free, lives in this closet, and is putting up with this. I mean, that made no sense. But, you know, something weird happened at a doc where, and spoiler alert for those who are watching, it's almost like I feel like there was a call from a president that came down after that game, and we didn't get to see what happened on the phone call, because Jason Brown says, you calling to give me an extension or to fire me? And then after that, it seems like his personality, he wasn't caught on camera MFing as many people as often or as aggressively as he did. He didn't treat you guys Well, now, once again, this is caught on camera and how it's edited. It seemed like he took it down a notch, almost like he realized, oh, boy, this is not going to look good.
Yeah, actually, I after that Dodge City game, he kind of vanished for a little bit. You know, as a coaching staff, we were able to brief a little bit. So
he vanished? What do you mean by that?
So he just kind of stayed away from the staff and the team. You know, I think I really think that the president and the athletic director, because that Dodge City game was just a whole nother level. And to be honest with you, Netflix really just caught a scratch on the surface.
Oh, really?
That whole entire game. I'm not sure why Brown was so rattled up that game, to be honest with you guys. It was a whole different ball game. He just was on fire that night. And I really thought, you know, to be honest, we all thought that he was going to be gone. We were like, there's no way, you know, because they didn't show at the end of the game how much of a crapshoot it was. And, like, he got kicked out of the game, as you guys saw, you know, at the end of the game. It was horrendous. It was a nightmare. And then we had another 8-hour drive back to Independence, but at least we won.
Wow. I thought for sure, yeah, that game was going to just tear the team apart. And then you guys went on and played. You guys were more talented, obviously, with all the Division I guys that you guys had.
That number one, you're right. Carlos Thompson, we know a little bit about him. That Calvin Jackson kid looks like a player.
Calvin Jackson, I thought he was your best offensive player all year.
Oh, he's amazing, man. But he's with Washington State now.
Okay.
And he's been, I think, you know who's taking him under his wing is Antonio Brown. He was training with Antonio Brown all summer long.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So Calvin, he's got great genes. I think his dad was in the NFL, and I think his mom might have been a track runner at LSU. I'm not 100% sure.
That kid's a player. So, you can tell that.
Oh, yeah. The dude can play ball.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Calvin. Yeah, I love Calvin.
So now, how did you leave? And you're at a high school now, right?
So I parted ways with Brown at the end of the season. I just I couldn't stay there for obvious reasons. You know, there's no way. Being 28 years old, I just knew that wasn't the right way. You know, the guys who have taught me the game have shown me the formula for success, and you know that's not the way that Brown runs things. Isn't quite the way that I want to. Something that I want to be associated with, and I parted ways. And as soon as I got to LA, the defensive backs coach from the University of Nevada took the head coaching job at Santa Monica High School in California. He reached out to me. He heard I was there, and I said he asked me if I wanted to be his assistant coach and offensive coordinator. I said yes. And believe it or not, guys, I've been on the road for 2 days now, and I just passed through Houston 6 hours ago.
No way.
So I'm on the road. I left. I'm not at Santa Monica High School anymore. I'm on the road to a new school.
Where are you going?
So I can't.
Oh, okay.
I can't say it yet. But I think, you know, God works.
East Mississippi. East Mississippi. Scuba.
Yeah, I gotta go be Buddy Stevens' counselor.
I gotta be honest with you. I don't feel as bad about Buddy Stevens anymore.
No, I thought that was the worst until I saw Jason Brown. Okay? No, don't do that to yourself. Get away from the Buddy Stevens and the Jason Browns, Frank. Don't do it.
Joel says, I'm praying to dear baby Jesus that y'all get him to say big dog at least one time.
One time. Big dog.
What up, big dog? You guys
are
all Houston, stand up, H-Town.
Hey, Frank, we appreciate you being here, man. Best of luck. Check in. We'd love to have you back on again to see how your season is going. That was we felt for you, pal. We felt for you all season last year.
I appreciate you guys, Lance. John, I appreciate you guys. You guys are amazing, man. Stay in touch, and we'll see where this road takes me.
All right, Ben. There's Frank Diaz, big dog, right here on ESPN 97.5. 9:04 here on the show. Time to talk about saving people money.
Yeah, let me just tell you quickly, Bill Advisor, make sure that your bills are where they're supposed to be. And what do I mean by that? Let's start with your homeowner's insurance. If you want to, I'm almost 100% certain that when you do this, you're going to find out that you're paying too much for your homeowner's insurance. Text money to 232323. Do it right now. Three Jordans, three LeBrons, whatever you want to call it, money to 232323. They'll hit you back and they'll say, what is your address? You send it and they'll say, here is our quote. for your homeowner's insurance. And they'll tell you for what amount it is. Now, if you want to get it insured for even more, or if you want to even increase your insurance and what you're insuring, they can do that for you as well. But most people are paying way too much for homeowner's insurance. They're averaging almost $800 of savings per year for homeowner's insurance for people. I know, because I saved over $700 and it would have been over $800, but I increased my insurance, my homeowner's insurance by $100,000 in coverage because, frankly, I hadn't done anything with my homeowner's insurance over the last decade, and I was paying way too much. You probably are too. Text MONEY to 232323 and get a homeowner's insurance quote right now. It's just one of the many services they offer at Bill Advisor. Completely changing the game. Go to BillAdvisor.com.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. All the way up.
ESPN 97.5.